You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And with me tonight is David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. We're on our own tonight, David, but it's probably quite good because there's not much to talk about. But one of the things I want to start with for a change is South Africa Inc. ArcelorMittal came out with an announcement this morning, a trading update, I think it was. Share price down 10, 11%, which wasn't the case when the announcement was made, but obviously people have delved into the numbers.
Yeah,
that's not a good sign.
No, it's a very sobering sign because, and where it's a sobering sign, besides the fact that there's no local demand, which is an important aspect, you know, if you've got no one buying your steel, I think steel prices were also down. They made the statement that prices are falling faster than costs. In other words, the raw material costs are not keeping up with price and are falling in line with prices. So you get squeezed on your margins.
Yes.
The other point, and this was the most important point, is that they couldn't find trucks to deliver the steel. And the reason is because of the debacle with Transnet, all the coal companies kind of took advantage and took all the trucks. So monopolized all the trucks. So there were no trucks for steel delivery. So obviously it's related to prices or whatever. So they couldn't get their steel out the factories. They couldn't deliver it to customers and therefore sales dropped, which also affected their working capital. Because if you don't sell, you don't get money. And it affects the money in your bank account. So when you asked about, you know, you came out and said, let's look at SA Inc. Here's an example of what happens when someone like Transnet fails, you know, which is the rail system. And you can't get hold. There's not enough trucks, et cetera. And if you can't deliver your goods, you can't get the money, and it affects all elements of it. So besides the fact that there was no local demand, I think those aspects as well. So the share dropped 10%.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, there are a lot of stories within that short statement that they made.
That's what you've just said about the trucks highlights the disastrous state of the logistics infrastructure in South Africa. It's appalling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no, the truckers are making millions. You know, anybody who owns a logistic company and has got these big trucks, they're making fortunes simply because Transnet's volumes, I don't know, are down significantly. You know, we're talking multi-levels of percentages. You know, it's not down 5%, 10%. I think over the years there's just not performing what they would, and that's government. You know, that's a government-owned company. So, I mean, it's been a total, total disaster. It's hurt Exxaro, which is a coal company. It's hurt Kumba, which is an iron ore company. And, of course, it's hurt Thungela and also the private businesses as well. So, interesting. I don't know if you picked this up with the Grindrod statement as well.
I saw Grindrod, but I didn't read it. What does it say?
What it says is that the port of Maputo, in which they have, which is privately owned, okay, listen to that. So Maputo Port is privately owned, and they have something like a 24.7% stake. And what they said is that their volume growth was 20% higher in 2022 than it was in 2021.
That's a good performance.
Yeah, well, of course. So what's happening is that, of course, with Richards Bay under pressure, KZN, all the goods are going through Maputo, which is only a very small port. But I mean, that becomes your port of choice. So, you know, here is this privately owned in Mozambique, which has made which has done incredibly well. Unfortunately, I think Grindrod only own about 24.5%, but it's a good, 24.7%, which is a decent stake. But it was they saw fit to put that through. So it also gives you an idea of the logistics in this country. Now, if you drive to the Kruger National Park, you just see one truck after another on its way to through Nelspruit, on its way to Komati Port, through to Mozambique.
Yes,
it's hell. It's hell to drive.
Oh, I wouldn't drive on that road,
Lindsay. It's hell to drive. I mean, the roads are good to Nelspruit. I can't complain about them, but there are a lot of areas where you do have these trucks, you know, and you can get stuck. They do space themselves out, but I mean, you've got to be on the ball. It's not a relaxed drive. And if you go down to Durban, you know, if you go down on the dual highways, which have been around for a long time,
the N3,
the left lane, the N3, the left lane is just truck after truck. And if you think I'm exaggerating, it's not. I'm not. It's. I don't know what it is in K's anymore. 600 kilometers. It used to be 400 or 500 miles, but whatever it is now, there's no respite. There's no. You know, you keep in that right hand lane, but you can never relax simply because you've got these massive trucks on the side there, and just one after the other.
Well, that is why I've always thought that the first infrastructure project, if I was president, that I would get going would be a dual railway line between Johannesburg and the port of Durban, close, because it would relieve the pressure on the N3. It would save a lot of lives as well. But of course, we don't have the money for that, and it's not a priority.
No. They let that deteriorate. It was there. It's just been stolen. You know, like a children's Meccano set or a children's train set, the rails, everything has just been taken.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just been robbed blind. But it gives you an indication, an idea of what's happened here. I mean, Transnet, Eskom, all of these things at one stage were really kind of formed the foundation of our economy, particularly for a mining economy. Well, you've got a mining economy, it's far more efficient to fill up the coal trucks and just ship them to the border or ship them to the ports. But no, we have to take them down in trucks.
It's inefficient. Okay, a couple of other pieces of corporate news from JSE-listed companies. Rennet, I don't want to talk about that. It's quite boring. Clicks and Sasol. Start with Sasol, please, because Sasol is over 4% higher.
I can't understand that, and I'm not sure what's driving it because there was quite a bit of volume. It's complicated to read production reports unless you're a Sasol analyst and have got a good grip of what they do. But I glanced through them, and you know, wherever I looked, it looked a little challenging to me. You know, it looked like volumes were down in all areas, and there was no great improvement on where we were a year ago. You know, this was for the 6 months, but 6 months to the end of December. But nevertheless, the market seemed to believe it was better than expected and have moved the shares up. I think the other thing is that what's favoring Sasol is that, a very high oil price and you have a very low rand. The rand's back at 17.30. So I think all of these are working in favor of Sasol. But you know, a lot of production now is on the chemical side, and chemical prices are down, feedstock prices are higher. So I need to defer to analyst reports, you know, to see what the state of Sasol is.
It's a very complicated company with its different products and its different geographies, etc.
Yeah.
So wait for the reports.
So I looked at the market price. I think, and you know, there are certain, when it comes to mining companies like that, it's not like Clicks where you can read through and or something like this. I think you need to have an idea of what this all means, you know, particularly the pricing side of it, because they only show you volumes, you know. They say so one's got to look at the value, you know, the values around the production as well. But nevertheless, look, the market, as you say, was 4% up. It was the top performer in the higher categories, you know, in the bigger companies today. So, as you say, up 4% and quite a bit of volume taking place. It's a favorite. It remains a favorite, you know, in our environment simply because I think because it's the only real oil company. So up, 4.73% at the close.
Very good. Clicks also came out with a trading update. You mentioned Clicks just now. This is for the 20 weeks to the 15th of January, so includes the Christmas period. I don't know if that's particularly focused on the peak spending season, although it does sell stuff that is not defensive. Mm. But anyway, share price down 1.3%. I like Clicks. I've always liked Clicks, David.
Yeah. It's a good business. And it's a good business because it focuses on beauty. And the lipstick effect always works.
Yeah.
And it's a very resilient area, beauty. regardless of where we are in the economy. And so, it's focused on that area. I think they had the UPD side of it, which was the wholesale side, was a bit down, a bit disappointing. The retails, I mean, Click side as well, did okay. I thought the fact that it's marked down, obviously, the market wasn't inspired by it. It didn't really respond to it. But, regardless, it's still a good business, well run. And look, it's not cheap anymore. I'm just trying to see where what the chart looks like. It's flattened out. That's interesting. For the last, they reached peaks it reached kind of a peak in October. It was up to 318 odd rand. It's come all the way back to about 275 rand.
That's quite
and
big.
I think this, it seems to have gone sideways, for almost 2 years now, or a year and a half, going nowhere. And I think that's nothing more than perhaps the share price beginning, the share price beginning to digest earnings. So,
all right. I just want to explain the lipstick effect, which you threw into the conversation just now. That is a theory that when times are tough, and if someone can't afford a designer handbag or branded clothes or something like that, can't afford the real luxuries that maybe in years past they could have done. So just to make themselves feel good and have a sense of a luxurious product, they buy something cheap or relatively cheap, like a good Christian Dior lipstick or something like that. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, exactly that. You know, people, I think what the lipstick effect is that even bad times, people want to look good.
Yeah.
So, they will buy makeup and that. It's a very resilient area of the market. More so than the clothing side or apparel side, because there you can shop down. But I think makeup and that, people don't come.
And also creams that make your face, it's a lot of rubbish, of course, but to reduce wrinkles. Which European company then would you buy during these times? Is L'Oreal listed or what is it?
L'Oreal. Yeah. L'Oreal, Estee Lauder, very aspirational brands. There are a few others, ELF Beauty. The one that I liked and I'm looking at in a lot more carefully is a company called ULTA, Ulta. And I've got to admit that my daughter and my wife know it very well when they're in New York, have a very good online service. And they spread across the United States, only US. Now, it's a Sephora-type business. It's the closest thing I can kind of explain. Sephora, which is owned by LVMH. In other words, a one-stop shop for makeup. Although Sephora, I know, sells a lot of its own brands now, I think Ulta sells other people's brands. So you'll go in there and you'll be able to have a choice of perfumes or eye makeup or lipsticks or whatever you want. I think they also have, what they call in America, beauty parlors. So you can have your hair done and various other things done in these stores. But I had seen it mentioned in a report. And as one of the best for retailers, and I started to ask around, and I couldn't believe, my wife said, no, they are 96th Street, brilliant. You go there, you get this. So she was very enthusiastic about the shop, which is always a good indication. And I'm not dismissing it. I'm saying when people like it and respond in that kind of way, then you've got to take it seriously, that they're doing a good job.
Do you use face cream and eye cream and that sort of thing, David? No, you don't.
I use face cream.
Yeah.
I use but it's a cheap, it's the equivalent of Nivea, Eucerin or something like that, which is nothing more than kind of moisturizer for dry skin, but I don't use any upmarket products at all now.
Good for you. Okay, what else did we see today? I noticed that the US markets are under a bit of pressure, and I was watching, I think it was the CNN First Move with Julia Tatterley, and it seems to be a sense of trepidation over the next 2 weeks' worth of US earnings. David, the market seems to be saying, I'm not quite sure, but if I have to make a move, I'll just trim my positions a little bit, just in case.
No, I think so. I think you're right. We're coming to the big earnings season now, and I think people are watching very carefully to see how businesses coped with, first of all, falling demand, and secondly, increasing prices, increasing interest rates. In other words, what's the effect going to be on margins? So there is a lot of concern about it. And I think it, you know, a lot of it's been built in. I think I don't know how they work out what the average earnings are going to be, but I don't think there's a big number built in. So it's going to be on a one-on-one, and everybody's looking at the big tech companies. But Lindsay, I think universally, I think the Wall Street or the big banks and the hedge funds are still very negative on the markets, and still expecting a train wreck somewhere along the line. And yet, I think even now, as you talk, markets are holding up okay relative to where we've been. But you know, one set of results can actually throw that off. There's nothing out pre-market, so I think we're going to wait for aftermarket. You know, we're going to start seeing Johnson & Johnson and a few other big companies coming out. I'm not quite sure what's planned for today.
Okay.
But it is nervous. It's nervy because the markets react with such venom. You know, they're unforgiving. So they can – and once the – the hedge traders, or alternatively, what can we call them? The algorithm traders, and that, you know, you can send this market anyway. But I mean, just looking now to give you an indication, the S&P is only down 0.4% and the NASDAQ down 0.3%. Yes. And consider that they've gained 4.5% over the last 2 days. So it's a minor reversal at the moment.
But it can change very, very fast. It's a pause for breath. And as you say, when there's a bit of bad news, the market falls precipitously. And when there's some good news, it just grinds its way higher. Yeah. That's the way of the markets. The dollar rand is 17.25 now, and that's off its lows, but still 1% weaker for the rand, or 1% stronger for the US dollar. Mm. British pound against the rand is 21.22. Euro rand, 18.74. Euro dollar barely changed at 108.60. British pound, 122.90, which is a 0.9% fall for the pound. Okay, commodities now. Gold price up a couple to 19.29. Platinum up $36 an ounce to 10.60. Palladium, that's just very slightly higher at $17.20 per ounce. Now, the all-important energy complex looks like this, with Brent crude oil well off its highs and was up this morning. It's now down $87.52, down 0.75%. West Texas is $80.92, which is down around about 0.9%. Natural gas prices back again, 0.25% weaker. I think what happens with this natural gas price, David, is that when the Ukraine war first became a serious issue, countries like Germany stocked up. They thought, we've got to have full tanks for this thing because winter's just around the corner. Well, 6 months away. So they did that, and that's why the price has rocketed. And now that they're full, it's fallen. It's fallen in a heap. Yeah,
and there's been a warm winter. Yeah, so demand hasn't matched what they thought it would be.
Yeah.
So yeah,
thank goodness.
I was looking because you always look at your, you know, you always give us the basket, and I think over the last year. Sorry.
Go on.
If I'm wrong, go. You know, you can you get your commodity prices from the peak that we reached in June somewhere. I think we're down about anywhere from 17% to 20% in the commodity basket over that short period, which is 6-7 months.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at the CRB index. Mm. It peaked in June just above an index level of 350. It's currently 305. And it was 288 or something like that. So what is that? Yeah. 350 down to 300, call it. What's that? You're a mathematician.
It's somewhere. It's around about 10-15%, more than 10%. So let's call it 45 divided by 3.5. That's down about 13%. Yeah.
Okay. Let's have a look.
I thought it was more. I thought it was slightly higher than that. But I mean, it's whatever we're saying is it's down. You know, and I think it's back where it was, almost pre-war. Anyway, it's
50 divided by 300. So I've got to get this right, otherwise my old math teacher will be furious with me, turning in his grave. 50 divided by 300 is what?
Well, 16%.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's still a significant fall. It's not a bear market yet, but it's a significant fall. US 10-year Treasury bond yield is 3.53%, which is 3 basis points higher. The South African 10-year bond yield is, it was 980 this morning. It's now 974.5. I was speaking to Joanne Bainham earlier on, and that's her top pick for the year, is the South African bond market. But anyway... what else have we got here? Bitcoin's been going through the roof recently.
It's holding, It's, you know, the bonds are holding. We haven't seen, despite what we're seeing here, you know, this complete collapse of the country, load shedding continues. I'm very lucky because the T20, what's it, you know, that... IPL or whatever it is, I don't know what competition it is the cricket competition, is taking place across the road from me. So whether it's the semi-finals, finals, or whatever it is, huge crowds there, but they dare not turn the lights off because then they've got no floodlights. So so I'm spared load shedding tonight.
Very good.
I mean, but overall, Lindsay, it's continued. It's taken its toll on so many businesses, and I think it's going to only come through later. The point I make, and I think that's why when we look at when we look at that ArcelorMittal trading statement, I think it's very prescient. You know, it's a prescient statement of what lies ahead for so many other businesses as well, where the shortages. Yeah, the retail businesses are not exactly like that, but I mean. For producers, low demand, higher costs, no transport, all of these things are going to play out.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's streams of people coming here, which is good.
What do you mean, streams of people? What are you talking about?
No, I mean walking towards the Wondrous.
Oh, I see. Okay, there's cricket. Yeah.
You know, they don't miss it. I don't know. You know, this is they enjoy it. You know, it's a very, very popular form of entertainment.
Yeah, it's instantaneous.
I don't know.
I'm
a test cricket man.
Me too. I'm a 5-day man.
I can sit and watch test cricket, which I did do when I was in Australia, even though we lost. I think it is much more intense and, you know, truer to cricket than here.
Well, anyway. The interesting thing about that is that the New England coach combined with Ben Stokes, they've just said the popularity of the 5-day game over the years has generally been reduced and diminished. And so they said, let's get out there and do it. And I think other teams will copy them. So I think the 5-day game will come to the fore. The other ones will be popular as well. But I love the Ben Stokes effect. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, if cricket was a mainstream game worldwide, he'd be, you know, sports personality of the year because he's so good.
Yeah. I know. But, you know, in these limited over games, whatever, you can only bowl a limited amount of overs, and you can't bowl on the leg side, and you can't bowl bumpers, you can't intimidate. So it's just nothing more than a good old slogging match, you know, which we used to do on our front lawn, you know, like, you know, who can hit this into the neighbor's house. So, but I won't take anything away from their hand-eye coordination and their wonderful ability to, you know, to hit a ball. But for me, it's... I don't know. You know, we used to have all kinds of descriptions. We used to play that kind of cricket, you know. So, anyway.
I love it. David, Bitcoin has done well. It's around about 23,000. It wasn't long ago. It was below 16,000. So I don't know why people are suddenly so enthused by it. S&P 500 futures down 0.5%. Let's have a look now at some of the movers up and down on the JSC. I'll mention the ones that are of interest. Cecil, as you said, up 4.75%, we'll call it. Bytes up 4.1%. South 32 up 3.33%, and Hammerson up 3.25% on the downside. TFG, 4.5% weaker.
Interesting.
What is that?
They had a trading statement out that's Fashini.
Last night, yes.
It looked okay. You know, that's why I'm a little surprised. I'm not quite sure why the market responded like it did. It's probably one of the best, the better apparels companies here. They did okay in the UK. They did okay in Australia. So I'm not quite sure what got the market down, you know, where they felt let down. But anyway, I say that because I, you know, it just shows you when you read results for the first time, it looked fairly decent. You know, it looked very decent. But anyway.
Glencore down 3 1/3%. Sibanye-Stillwater down 3.1%. Advatec 2.7% in the red. And Kumba Iron Ore 2.5% down. And that's the ArcelorMittal factor, I think.
Yeah.
On the coattails of ArcelorMittal. And you just see the headline here. It says Sasol coal exports down 25% due to rail and mining problems.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a blight.
But that was Sasol.
Sasol.
And the share was up 4%.
Yeah, 4 3/4%. Anyway.
Just one or two other stocks that you might. PPC is up 9%. I think it's the second day of big gains.
Very good.
I have no reason why it's going up because if I looked at Cashbuild's numbers yesterday, disappointing results. No one's doing anything in the building or cement area, even the informal sector. Wilson Bailey, another housing company, up about 9%. Bytes is interesting because it's actually not a bad company. It came out of Altron. It's based in the UK. I always get good results, but there's buying and selling and buying and selling. And anyway, it's one I watch carefully. What else is there worth mentioning? Octodec, which is a REIT, up 5%. Those are the only other things. Let me see if there's anything that you might have missed outside of that. ArcelorMittal, the big, big sell-off, over 12%. Yeah.
Okay.
Liberty 2 degrees, 7%. That's interesting. Liberty 2 degrees is Liberty. You know, it's Liberty Life. That's Sandton City and Eastgate, which are their two flagship, segments or retail stores. Malls. So I don't know why that's down about 7%. Anyway.
All right. Well, there's some interesting stuff in very thin conditions. We'll come to that in a moment. But meanwhile, David, please give us the closing JSE indices and also Live Wall Street.
We ended down 0.11%. You know, as we started talking, we were flat. So in the closing auction, a little bit of selling, 80037. Mine is down 1.25%. That's because I think, you've mentioned most of the mining stocks that were down. Banks down 0.4%, but overall financials down 0.14%. So obviously the insurers did better than the banks. And the industrial market up 0.6% with consumers up 0.6 as well. So if you look at where that came from, you know, where was the market? Process was up quite nicely. Naspers and Richemont. While AB InBev and British American Tobacco were down. So this is always a Richemont story. But overall, what I do want to highlight is the amount of the volume, which I mentioned earlier. So we ended up at 15 billion.
That's Chesil, pathetic.
Chesil, Naspers, Goldfields, Richemont, Process, very, very low volume. Very low.
Yeah. That's surprising, actually, given that we're in full swing in 2023. Mm. Okay, 15 billion. What about Live Wall Street, please, David? The NASDAQ and S&P? I know you haven't got the Dow.
I haven't got the Dow. The NASDAQ now down 0.3%.
That's nothing.
So it's holding. It's not as bad. Yeah, it's still improving as we talk. And the S&P down 0.34%. But this is early days. You know, when you look at those markets, it doesn't give you any kind of indication as to where this is going to end. Where we now, 6 o'clock or 5:30 in the next 5.5 hours. You know, we have no idea where it's going to end.
Exactly. But I know where this conversation is going to end right now. David, thank you very much for your time, as always. I'll speak to you again on Thursday. That's David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organisation, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.